First John chapter 1 tonight, there's a phrase that grabbed my heart last week, and I began to look at it a little bit. I just want to share a few things with you tonight, if I may. First John chapter 1, the Bible said in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. You have your Bible in your lap this morning or this evening? You know what we're handling? It's a living book. It's the word of life. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness. I'm glad it did, aren't you? For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now John said, there's a reason I'm writing these things to you. In verse number 4, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I want to ask you a question tonight. If John desires that our joy be full, and Jesus desires, I'll show you that in a moment, that our joy be full, what do you reckon old Slewfoot desires? It'd be just the opposite, wouldn't it? Amen? I believe with all of my heart tonight, we look at this tonight, that we need more in our generation of Christians that are full of joy. Now, I'm going to pray in just a moment, but let me say this. That is an impossibility apart from the Spirit of the living God. The Word of God said, now the fruit of the Spirit is love. Does anybody know the second one? Joy and peace. And then I don't know if I can name them all, but there's long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and faith and meekness and temperance, and I can't count that high. There's 9 of them all together. But it didn't say fruits. I think that's a mistake to say fruits. The fruit of the Spirit. Do you really have love without joy? Do you really have joy without love? Do you really have peace without love and joy? Are you really long-suffering without love and joy? See where I'm coming from? I believe it's a package deal, so to speak. When the Spirit of God is filling an individual's life, it's manifested in joy, it's manifested in love, and it's manifested in the peace of God. Let's pray, and we'll look at this just a moment tonight. Father, thank you tonight for the Bible, the living Word of God. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior tonight. Thank you for He, the Holy Spirit, that leads us and guides us and directs us. And Father, tonight, I believe if a person has been saved any length of time at all, they know what it is to walk in the Spirit. But they also know what it is, Lord, to walk in the flesh. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to understand the need in this hour, our fathers, for God's people, Lord, to walk in the Spirit, to be filled with the fullness of God, to have the fullness of joy in our lives. John wrote that we might understand that. God, I pray now that Jesus would manifest, Lord, this message in our hearts and in our lives, and help us tonight for just a little while. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I've got 2 Bibles laid out here in front of me because I got notes made in one of them that's not in the other. How many knows they're both King James Bibles? I promise you, amen. They always will be as long as I'm living. In John chapter 15, Jesus is saying to his disciples in verse number 11, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." I believe Jesus knew what he was facing. He's facing the cross. And I believe he knew there was going to be some hurting hearts among his disciples. And so he speaks to them and he says, "I want my joy that's in you right now to remain in you, and I want your joy to be full." In John chapter 16, Jesus said, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Where I'm going with this tonight as we start off is it looks to me like that joy has a relationship with what is written. John said, "These things write I unto you." So joy, it has a direct relationship to what God is saying to us. But Jesus tells us to come to him in prayer. It also has a direct relationship in what we're saying to him. It goes back and forth. Not too long ago, we talked about a conversation that's one-sided. We need someone speaking and someone listening. And if it's one-sided, it doesn't work out. But if it's someone speaking and someone's listening, when we open the Word of God, we need to approach it. That is God speaking. That is God's Word. Amen. That is a letter from God to you and to me. And when we pray, someone, I think it was in the movie Sheffy where I saw this. I'm pretty sure it was. Someone told Preacher Sheffy, that old circuit riding preacher, said, "It's been said," and this was a religious bunch that refused to ordain him. By the way, we'll be ordaining Coulter, and I got to get all that set up. I told him we'd wait till this pandemic was over and all that, and we'll be ordaining Brother Coulter probably in the month of August. We'll get through Bible school, and if we survive that, then we'll ordain Coulter. But anyway, they told Brother Sheffy, they said, "It has been said that when you pray, it's as if you're actually talking to God." And he said, "To whom do you talk to when you pray?" Bunch of people gathered in an altar in a church, an old-fashioned altar, just praying out loud. And a woman told the pastor after church, said, "I couldn't understand a word they were saying." He said, "Honey, they weren't talking to you." The people that are full of joy have an avenue where they talk to God, and they have a book where God. I'm not one that goes on emotion or feelings, but cold chill bumps just come up all over me because I know time after time after time after time when God takes this precious book and speaks to my heart. Amen. The Word of God said, Jesus said, "Ask, you will receive, that your joy may be full." John comes along in 1 John chapter 1 and he says, "These things write to you that your joy may be full." Now, I want you to underline the words "your joy" and the word "full." It's important. God doesn't want us to just be half and half. God wants us to be full of that joy. Someone said this, and it's so true. Happiness is determined by what's going on around you. Joy is determined by what's going on inside of you. That's why, listen to me, you all that are in this room, many of you, you knew the old timers. They had a woodshed. They didn't have a heat pump. Say amen. Many of them didn't have a bathroom in the house. Many of them grew a garden and worked hard and milked the cow, say amen, and carried the milk in. But it seemed like today we've got things a whole lot easier, but we've got a lot less joy because their joy was not determined by their work and what was going on around them. It was determined by their worship and what was going on within them. And that's what God is trying to say to us. We need to get back to that. Amen. We need to get back to opening our Bible, not just out of duty. I got to read this chapter today. Listen, I'm not against the reading because we're supposed to, but I tell you, if we can open it out of delight, Lord, I can't wait to see what you're going to say to me. Amanda, the lady that visited this morning, Brother Fred's granddaughter, showed me a bookmark. She's got Brother Fred's Bible. Every day of his life, he wrote down on that bookmark what he was reading that day. No wonder. How many of y'all know Brother Fred? Brother Ralph, was he not a man that just full? I'm telling you what, he's an encourager. He's a Barnabas if I ever met one. Amen. And he was just so full of joy. Listen, I promise you this. There was some days when things weren't going too well at the church. But if there was a body in this church anywhere that still had joy, it was Fred Weston, I'll guarantee it. Because he was full of this book. He gave that proper place to the Word of the living God. These things we write to you that your joy may be full. Now, if you will, look at 2 John chapter 1. If you find chapter 2 in 2 John, you've got the wrong Bible. 2 John and verse 12. He said, having many things to write to you, I did wish to do so with paper and ink. But I hope to come to you and speak face to face. Now watch this now. John is not going to be talking about your joy now. Watch what he said. That our joy may be full. In 1 John, he uses the phrase, your joy. In 2 John, he uses the phrase, our joy. What is the difference? He's writing unto them that your joy may be full. But what he's talking about here, I believe with all of my heart, is fellowship. When he gets in their presence, amen, it does something for his heart. He's hoping not to just be able to write them a letter. Let me ask you this, beloved. Do you all realize when Jesus prayed, yes, he's written us a letter. Yes, it's precious. But do you realize in John chapter 17, he said, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Listen, I'm telling you, beloved, he's coming. It's fixing to get a whole lot more precious than it is right now. We're going to be in his presence. And then we're going to understand Jesus said, your joy. He's going to say, our joy. Amen. He's going to be thrilled to have us in his presence. And we're going to be thrilled to be in his presence. Look with me just a moment at this fellowship here in 1 John and we'll be finished. Let me give you this. Something I read today that I thought was worthy of sharing with you. It said, men have pursued joy in every avenue imaginable. Let me say this to you. You'll never find joy pursuing it. If that's what you're looking for, you'll never find it. Listen to the rest of this. Some have successfully found it while others have not. Perhaps it would be easier to describe where joy cannot be found. It cannot be found in unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel of the most pronounced type. He wrote, I wish I had never been born. It can't be found in pleasure. Lord Byron lived the life of pleasure, if anyone did. He wrote, the worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone. It can't be found in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, he had plenty of that when dying. He said, I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth. It cannot be found in position and fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more of that, his share, than of both. And he wrote, youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret. Trent, that's not what we've been trying to teach you all, is it? Youth is a mistake. Oh, no, youth is not a mistake. God's got his hand on our young people. Watch this. It cannot be found in military glory. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day. Having done so, he wept in his tent before he said, "There are no more worlds to conquer." Where then is real joy found? The answer is simple. In Christ alone. Years ago, they wrote a song. And I don't remember. I remember a little bit of the tune. Some of them tunes you wish you could get out of your head. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Some of you nodding your head, you're old too. But lots of people are looking for joy in all the wrong places. They're looking for joy and their Bible's closed. They're looking for joy and they don't have time to pray. They're looking for joy and they live for themselves. They're never finding that place of service to serve others. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, joy is a byproduct of obedience. When God puts something on your heart and you do it, I'm telling you, it brings joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can do all kinds of things to get attention, but I'm telling you what, if you do it for Him, you do it because you love Him, it's a blessing. A third century man was anticipating his death. He penned these words to a friend. He said, "It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world, but I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and a holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure in our sinful life. They are despised, persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are Christians, and I'm one of them." Amen. I tell you, there can be a joy that this world knows nothing about for the child of God. We see here in chapter number 1, this joy hinges on something. I'll give you this, and I'm done tonight. It hinges on our fellowship with God and with one another. I don't know about you, but if you've ever gotten sideways, how many knows what I said when I said gotten sideways with God? You ever get sideways with God? There's a little birdie called joy that flies out the window. And he ain't coming back till you get straightened out with God. And I'll tell you something else too. We get sideways one with another. How many knows what I'm talking about? If I get sideways with my wife, my joy's gone. I get sideways with an individual, my joy is gone. We can't have the fullness of joy without fellowship. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'll say this tonight. I believe with all my heart, one of the reasons people lose their joy is they're fellowshipping in the wrong crowd. I can't wait till God lets me share Trent and Eli with the young people, the teenagers, the message He gave me years ago about Samson. He goes from the top of the hill in one chapter to the bottom at the meal, all in one chapter. I'll share that sometime with those young people. Amen. It don't take long, beloved, listen, to be on top and get to all the way to the bottom. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, God wants us to fellowship with the right people. Real joy has a beginning. Real joy is a blessing. Real joy is becoming. And real joy, beloved, if you look in verse number 8 down through verse number 10, sometimes takes a breaking. God has to break us. God has to show us that we're wrong about something. And the Word of God said, if we confess our sin, if we say that we have no sin, the Word of God said, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. The best we can do, we're going to miss it at times. But the difference between missing it at times and regarding iniquity, the Word of God said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, in other words, I see it, I know it's wrong, but I refuse to do anything about it. That's regarding iniquity. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. The channel gets blocked up. We can't pray like we used to. We can't have joy like we used to. And so that the breaking has to come. I'm a little bit different. I really believe what I'm about to say. I don't believe a sinner gets saved anytime they want to. I believe the Spirit of the living God must be doing a work in that heart. But I really believe this. I don't believe the saints of God get right with God anytime they want to. I believe the same Spirit that broke us down when we were a sinner and broke our will, that same Spirit comes to us and deals with us about our sin. I've been guilty, beloved, listen, in these years of being a Christian, I've been guilty of saying, well, that ain't too bad. I'm going to tell you what, when He comes, it's bad. Amen. And it doesn't, there's no such thing when He comes as a big sin and a little sin. When He comes, it's sin. And it's broken our fellowship. And anything that would break our fellowship with Him, it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be cleansed. John writes that our joy might be full. Jesus prayed that our joy might be full. And we can have the fullness of joy when the communication is open. We're talking to Him, and He's talking to us. I hope you'll get your Bible down this week. Amen. And I hope that you'll look at it and read it. I hope that you'll pray before you read it. And just ask God to speak to your heart. Amen. Ask God to lead you. Ask God, as we said this morning, to let somebody see Jesus in your life. That's their only hope. Amen. Is to see the change that the Lord has made in our life. Our relationship with God determined by our birth. Our fellowship with God is determined by obedience. And I think a lot of people in the religious realm have gotten that mixed up. They think that, well, if I'm not obeying God, I'm not saved. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you've ever been born again, you're saved. But if you're not obeying God, you're not enjoying the fullness of joy. You're not enjoying fellowship with God. How many's glad you come tonight? Thank you for coming.